Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
Listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just gonna jump right into it. I always come to it. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. Welcome back to Inside the Park. Me and the fellas took our All-Star break early. Last week we were off, but we're back on the air. We're excited to be back on. A lot's happened in the 2 weeks that we've been off, so let's just jump right into it, fellas. Get to the big news of the week. Kevin Youkilis has finally been traded. The Red Sox sent him packing, sent him over to the Chicago White Sox. They didn't get much in return. Two pretty pedestrian ball players in Brett Lillibridge and Zach Stewart. So I want to look at this trade from the aspect of what this means for the White Sox. Hank, I know you watch the AL Central a lot. Does Youkilis have anything left to help these Sox?
Well, you know, welcome sports fans back. I guess the show last week was a little next to nothing. Get that out the way real fast. But to Kevin Youkilis, I watched the game the other night when they was playing the Twins, and Kevin Youkilis, I don't know if Kevin Youkilis is going to help the White Sox. I think he can help the White Sox, but to what extent is anybody's guess. I don't think he has anything left. I think that another thing with Youkilis is also that, you know, he's got a little bit of a tooth problem. At least he showed a little bit of that in Boston. Clearly he wasn't happy. 32 years old, we'll have to see. But I don't know how much bang for the buck he's going to have for him. He's going to be another stick. But down the stretch, I think that his impact is going to be minimal.
All right, Mike. I heard a lot about Youkilis in Boston. It was rumored that he was the one who actually leaked out to the media that, there were players that weren't taking this thing as serious as they should. Some players eating chicken, drinking beer during the game. Rumor has it that you leaked these reports. Mike, are you a 2012 Kevin Youkilis fan?
2012? No, not really. And first of all, you got to look at bang for your buck here. And I'm not quite sure how much the Red Sox picked up of the salary, but he's got $12.5 million salary this year. So if you look for production versus pay, you know, that's tough. But more importantly, you know, he's been injured quite a bit lately, and I think your best expectations for Youkilis is that you can keep him healthy, and he puts up some decent numbers for you. But I'm not buying Kevin Youkilis this season. Now, if you tell me I can get him as a free agent next year and pay him $5 million, at that point he becomes a Jim Thome to me, a Scott Rolen. One of these guys that can come in and for a small investment can have a pretty good impact. But this year, I don't think he does more, but adds to your bench.
Okay, let me throw this out there to you guys. I see why the White Sox did it. I think I saw a stat that on the season, their third baseman in total are batting, what, under 200? I mean, they've been shuttling Orlando Hudson out there as of late, which, from a power position, Orlando Hudson's not going to get it done. So I see what the Sox are doing. They're trying to catch lightning in a bottle, similar to what they did this year with Adam Dunn. But
you know, hey, they're in first place right now. I'll throw this out there. Can he help them sustain first place? Or do you see a surge from Detroit or Cleveland coming? I'm just grasping at straws here. Can Euclid give these guys anything?
I better answer that first because we know Hank's answer. To your point, he's an upgrade, right? But he's only an upgrade as long as he stays healthy. So if he stays healthy, he makes their team a little bit better. So nothing wrong with that. He's not a difference maker. I don't think that was the point of it. So they are getting better. It's not the big splash. But, you know, let's think about it. It's an acquisition in June. Helps the ball club. I think it's a positive thing. So you don't fault the White Sox for doing that. And they gave up, Lillibridge and Zach Stewart, very replaceable players. So why not?
You know, here's the thing. I think that can he help them sustain first place? I think more or less they can sustain first place simply because Central Division is very weak, extremely weak. And you're absolutely right. 80% of Kevin Euclid right now is better than the combined third baseman they've been playing all season. So is it an upgrade? It's an improvement, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be Euclid alone. I think that, you know, quite frankly, the White Sox are going to go as far as, you know, basically their pitching staff goes in the Central. But, again, he is an improvement over what they have.
Okay. Did Boston owe Kevin anything, or did they pretty much treat him as they should have? Use him up when they don't have any more use for him, or a younger, better player comes along, ship him out.
Well, let's go back to what you said before, okay? I think that what we saw with Kevin Euclid in Boston was, you know, there was some dissension there. Bobby Valentine even said, and I got on Bobby Valentine about it, you know, that he wasn't producing, and then they were having this, you know, spit fest over in the media. So, to me, I sensed that there was some sort of dissension in that clubhouse. I think he had to go. I don't think Boston owes him anything, and of course, you know, if he was upsetting the chemistry there, then you know, I think they whatever they owed him, they gave it to him when they shipped him to the White Sox.
All right, Mike, you got anything?
No, I mean, that's the business, right? So you stop producing. Now, let's remember that if Middlebrooks wasn't up there producing like he was, this is a moot point. But they had a younger option. They could get something for him. So, you know, why not? Why not? I think that's fine.
Yeah, so fans, I hope you heard that. As Hank and Mike eloquently put it, that is the business. The article I asked that question because I read an article, and the article was trying to draw the parallel between how teams run their business versus how players who are, you know, their own business entity unto themselves run their business. And fans get upset when Albert Pujols chooses to leave St. Louis or Alex Rodriguez chooses to leave Seattle, but that's the business. You go where you get the money. And play, and teams, just like you see with Kevin Euclid, they're going to dump the money if you're not producing. That's the business. So if you're not going to get mad at the team, it's really not fair to get mad at these players as well. Like these guys said, that's the business. Another event that kind of captured ESPN and TV in the beginning of the week was this Joel Peralta issue. For those of you who may have missed it, Joel Peralta is a relief pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he used to pitch in Washington. So the Washington Nationals guys knew some of Joel Peralta's tricks, and one of them is that he puts a little pine tar on his glove so that he can get a better grip on the baseball. It is illegal by the rules, but a lot of pitchers I've heard do it. It just helps them get a better grip on the ball. I don't know that it helps with the movement at all. But my question to you guys is, was Washington out of bounds for calling some attention to this and getting Peralta not only kicked out of the game, but he also got an 8-game suspension, which is pretty big for a relief pitcher who has the potential to pitch every day. Mike, was Washington out of bounds? Did they break some kind of unwritten baseball rule, or is this fair game?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, as Mark Grace puts it, right? So, no. I mean, if it's a rule. It's out there. They call them on it. So what? It's sportsmanship. They can do something else to get them back. So I don't really have an issue with it, especially if people know you're doing it, man. So, that was Peralta's fault for going out there and putting himself in a position to get suspended. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Hank, was the 8 games too much? Keep in mind now, usually when a pitcher gets suspended, they may get an inflated amount of games, a starting pitcher, that is, because they only pitch once every 5 days. Peralta's a reliever who has the potential to pitch 2 or 3 days in a row. He got 8 games off. Was this suspension too high for your liking, or was it right about right, not long enough? What do you think, Hank?
Well, here's the way I look at it, okay? Now, first of all, Major League Baseball, if you're going to get popped, breaking the rules, they're going to try to come down. I think they've been, pretty consistent with doing something along the lines of you're going to be suspended where, it looks as though it's going to hurt. I think the fact that they actually saw the, a pine tar on his glove, if you really want to look back, it may not be strong enough. In most cases, that's like a 10-game suspension when they get caught with something like that. So the fact that he only got 8 games, no, I don't think that was excessive at all. I will say this, though. For the Nats to sit there and call him out was pretty bush, in my opinion. But that's such as it is when you leave and go to another team and you allow all your tricks to be shown out there. That's the price you pay sometimes.
There it is. That's what I want to hear. A little dissension amongst the ranks. Hank says it's bush. Mike says it's all fair game. I like it. So Hank, if you're the Nationals, you're letting it ride. You're not calling him on it, even though he may have a competitive advantage or just to rattle the other team. You're not saying anything.
Well, here's the thing that we're talking about interleague play, okay? Now, if you kind of tongue in cheek, something like that, he did this and another thing. They kind of used to do that with Gaylord Perry. They could never prove it too much, but they knew he was doing something. And I guess when I look at the fact that, okay, now he's suspended for 8 games, he's not playing the Nats no more this year. It has no bearing on what happens to them the rest of the season. That's what I say. That's why I call it bush, because, if this was one of your, I guess when I look at it, the gamesmanship comes from if you're battling this team, for a position, a playoff spot, then that's one thing. But, given the way this was done, I call it bush. I don't see them doing it to the point of suspension.
All right. Hey, I'm with you. Let's do this last current event real quick. There's been a rash of no-hitters. And, if you look around the league, guys' averages are down. They're not hitting like they were. The days of the steroid-induced baseball are long over. Has this down period in offense, I want to ask you guys, has it cheapened the no-hitter? I mean, does it not have that same cachet that it used to because we're seeing so many of them, or is this just a phase that baseball is going through? Let's start with Hank first. What are your thoughts on this? Have we lost the luster on the no-hitter?
No, let's look at baseball as a whole, okay? And if you look at, you could take any random season. And when you look at it, the very first part of every year, what you see is almost a pitching dominance. You see your no-hitters more frequent, or your perfect games, if you will, in your Aprils and your Mays and your early Junes. What you see is, from your hitters, is you see a lot less plate discipline. And not just, with the local team here, but you see a lot of free swinging. You see a lot of first pitch hitting. And what you got is a lot of these hitters. They're not in their flow yet. They're not in their groove yet. And then you get right around, and then you get right around the All-Star break. You come back, you see a little bit better plate discipline. You don't see as many no-hitters. You don't see as many pitchers being as dominant. You're starting to see some runs being scored, guys. And so I think what you're seeing is just a progression of the season. I think that as the season starts to progress further, you'll start to see the hitters start to pick up. You're starting to see Albert Pujols, for a perfect example. We talked about him a couple of weeks. Now he's starting to warm up a little bit. So these are things that I think is just a progression of the season. I don't think so much that it's just dominance. I just think that that the pitchers are just that much further ahead than the hitters.
Okay. Where are you on this one, Mike?
Well, first of all, I think we all welcome the exit of video game baseball and the numbers that went up there trying to attract whatever fans they were trying to get. You know, the less home runs and boppers that you have, the more important it is that, you know, the hit and runs are executed, the stolen base is executed. Defense becomes that much more important. And that's baseball, right? That's what we're here to watch for. That's the strategy. That's what makes the game a lot of fun once you get beyond the aesthetics of it. So I think it's absolutely fantastic your leadoff guy is so important now. And really, if you think about it, what it does is it legitimizes National League style of baseball as opposed to American League. And American League, you know, those teams have been recruiting the boppers. That's how they've won. They win by the three-run home run. It's not a lot of running. It's pretty rare that you get a team that does a lot of that in the American League. So to me, as a fan and someone who enjoys the strategy, I think it's fantastic.
I'm all for it, too. I'm not discouraged by the lack of offense. I think it brings some more strategy to the game. I like when managers have to use all their tools, you know, use a pinch runner here and there. I love it. I'm all for a better pitching offense taking a step back. Hey, how do you feel about this pitching dominated baseball that we've got?
I like it. The thing about it that frustrates me is the entire game. Now, you know, you got pitchers out there that's doing the work. I think, moreover, what frustrates me is just that I don't see the plate discipline, you know, this year. And I spoke on that earlier, is that when you know you got pitchers out there, I've seen way too many hitters hit the pitcher's pitch. I have not seen where, you know, let's see what he got. Let's take the pitch where he's pitching it. I see a lot of guys trying to go dead red, bop the ball over the fence, and not just, you know, try to get that base hit, not just try to get a rally going. So I like the dominant pitching, but I really have seen more so lack of plate discipline and the lack of the hitters getting this act together.
Yeah, another thing, it also it makes defense all that more important. You know,
right.
You got pitchers that are keeping the ball in the park, somebody's got to catch that ball. So I also appreciate it from that aspect. It makes defense a lot more valuable.
Don't we know?
Indeed. And fellas, I know we didn't talk about this earlier, but I'd be remiss to revisit this. Mike, while you were out one week on the DL, Hank and I discussed instant replay. And it seems to be picking up speed again. I don't know how many of you guys saw the Dwayne Wise play. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank, did you catch the Dwayne Wise play?
I didn't see that one, I don't think.
Okay. He Yankees third baseman went out went over the fence to catch a ball, missed the ball. The ball rolled into the stands and a fan was holding the ball up. And the umpire yet and still called the batter out, saying that Dwayne Wise caught the ball, when clearly the umpire was right next to the fan who was holding the ball up. Umpire never asked Dwayne Wise to show him his glove, never asked to see the ball in the glove, just called him out. Dwayne Wise ran to the dugout, end of the inning. So everybody's up in arms, calling for instant replay. How could an umpire miss that call? I know you and I discussed it a couple weeks ago, Hank, and you were not for instant replay, I don't believe. Mike, where are you at on instant replay in baseball? For it, against it, or you could care less?
I'm against it. you know, because the problem is once you do it a little bit, then you need to strive towards perfection. And is it just home run calls? Is it just fair foul calls? You know, what is it? We had that with the Mets guy with Santana when he threw the no-hitter, right? And called foul, it was clearly fair. The problem is there's no perfect answer, right? And I don't feel like you can go halfway through it. You know, half the plays we can review, but the other half we can't. I mean, if you're going to be perfect, be perfect. But baseball, with the whole concept of the strike zone, is the most imperfect set of rules and regulations, because that changes every game with every umpire. So, you know, to me, you can't go in halfway, so, and you have no intention of going in all the way, so just back off. Let it happen.
What if, playing devil's advocate, what if it's just on balls in play, so you take the balls and strikes out, and you have just the umpire in the booth who's able to review plays at the request of a manager?
One thing I would do, and I'd be open to, challenges. I think that each manager, I'd be open to saying having one challenge per game. And if your challenge is correct, you get your challenge back, and you can challenge a second play. But that's it. That's it. Because God knows there's no quick challenges out there. Nothing's as simple as it sounds or as quick as it sounds. So to me, one challenge is correct. And if you get it right, you get it back.
Hey, have you come around at all on instant replay?
I'm not coming around on instant replay. There's some things that's baseball, that's uniquely baseball, okay? And here's where I fall on instant replay. One thing about baseball that all of the other people say outside of baseball fan, they talk about the game is too long, the game is too this, the game is too that. Then you want to throw in instant replay, okay? Now, there's some things that makes baseball, again, uniquely baseball. You know, your Lou Piniellas of the world, your Earl Weavers and your Billy Martins of the world makes baseball uniquely baseball. Why? Because they come out to the umpire and they raise hell on a bad call. That's baseball, okay? That's where that's the human element of baseball is what makes baseball baseball. Now, yeah, for every bad call, there's bad calls in all sports. But, you know, for every bad call, we don't say nothing about all of the good ones out there. Now, those are the ones that get all the press. I don't like the idea of just saying, okay, let's stop the game and let's do this, let's do that. You know, maybe they should do something about the construction of some of these ballparks so that you can tell if it's a fair ball or a foul ball, so you ain't got that problem. I just feel balls and strikes and they call that. That's just the interpretation of the umpire, and I don't think that should change anyway.
All right. There it is. Keep it the same. I just had to touch on that because that was a major topic of discussion on all the sports shows this week. Just wanted to see if you guys had come around yet. Let's go ahead and pay some bills right quick.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Dog of the week. We've been off 2 weeks, so we got a lot to choose from here. Who you got, Hank? Who's your dog of the week?
You know what? I was driving home today, and I was trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be my dog of the week? And, I was listening to a sports radio channel here, and they were talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Toronto Blue Jays are in the American League East. And the Toronto Blue Jays are last in the American League East. But they've got a winning record at 38-37, which means that everybody in the American League East has a winning record. Now, that's saying something. When you look at all of baseball, all five teams in that division are still in play. and they all still have a winning record. So just for that alone, I'm making the American League East my dog of the week.
All right. Mike, who you got for dog of the week?
I would like to make the country of Ecuador my dog of the week. No, I'm gonna get a little more specific. my guy is, this is more of a season to date or even a career to date dog of the week. I don't know that we've really mentioned this guy's name more than once or twice this year. But talk about a guy who came up with the same expectations or probably as high of expectations of anybody since Mark Pryor. And I'm talking about Steven Strasburg here, who, you know, would, not to downgrade college baseball, but, you know, I hadn't watched college baseball in years, and all of a sudden I'm watching San Diego State games a couple years ago with Steven Strasburg. And he's come up, and he has been arguably the best pitcher in the National League, 9-2, 2.6 ERA. He's been everything they said he's supposed to be, even after coming off Tommy John surgery. So for that, I just want to give a shout-out, you know, dog of the week for a guy who had the highest expectations around him, the highest media attention, and has come up and fulfilled and exceeded those expectations.
Nice. I kind of went the same way. As you, Mike, and I did a little hype too. I got more than one dog of the week. You know, a lot of times we get these great pitching matchups and they don't live up to the hype. But this past week there was a pretty good one that actually did live up to the hype. Zach Greinke, probably one of the best pitchers in the National League this year. His numbers are finally backing up what he's capable of this year, and he's having an awesome season. He went up against Chris Sale, who arguably is one of the best, believe it or not, has one of the best pitchers in the AL, numbers-wise. Those two went head-to-head last week. It ended in a 1-0, 10-inning ball game, just how you'd like to see a pitcher's duel. Zach Greinke went 10 innings, gave up 3 hits. Chris Sale went 8 innings and gave up 4 hits. And I love watching pitching and defense. And for those two performances alone, Chris Sale, Zach Greinke, my dogs of the week.
That'll work.
All right. There's our Resistance Digital dog of the week. Let's go into series of the week before we blast off into our major subjects. Mike, what series are you watching this week?
The one that caught my eye was White Sox and Yankees, and really it's a put up or shut up for the White Sox going against the Yankees, and you know, two strong clubs there. But we got to find out if they're for real or not. This is a good part of the schedule for them, so I'm interested in seeing that game and seeing what the White Sox got, and also seeing what Euclid has for them.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I think Chicago's going to stay around for a little bit, so that'll definitely be interesting. Could be a future playoff matchup. Hank, where are you going?
Well, I tell you what. Just because I'm looking at Cincinnati and San Francisco, because I looked at San Francisco now. They've tied my beloved Dodgers, and Cincy over in the is making noise in the Central. So I'm looking at that series right now and trying to see what's going to happen and see where Cincinnati is going to be and see if they make a move up in the Central.
You know, I think that you got Cincy in first and San Francisco in second.
Well, they're tied today. Start of play today, San Francisco was tied with first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who has more to prove in that series? Who do you think?
Well, you know what? Yeah, I hate saying this, but it looks like my boys is going to swoon until Matt Kemp comes back. But I think Cincinnati does, and the reason why is because San Francisco's pitching is sick. And now, to take nothing away from what Cincy's done over the last couple of days, Cueto had a nice game the other night. But you have a pitcher that's pitched a perfect game. You've got Baumgartner. You've got – you still got Lincecum. I mean – since he's gonna, they've got their work cut out.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I agree with you. And anytime a team has to travel to the West Coast, that's always a tough one. The Reds, no exception to that. But I had an interesting start, and obviously a Reds fan here, but up until the eighth inning of last night when Bronson Arroyo threw a 7 1/3 innings of no-hit ball, their starters had thrown the previous three starters. Cueto went 9, I believe. Latos went 9. And am I off that? No, it may be the 4. So Cueto went 9, Leak went 8, and then Aroldos gave it up in the 9th. Latos went 9. I mean, their starting pitching this time through has been absolutely fantastic, but without a doubt, San Francisco has the better starting staff. So I agree with you. Sometimes you have perceptions out there, and I was interested to see what your point of view was.
Yeah. That was going to be fun to watch. That was going to be fun to watch. And I got to tell you, Cincinnati is a fun team to watch. I did catch a couple of their games, and I'm like, oh boy. I said, Mike's got something to look at. I wish we did.
And it's not Cincinnati, but let's talk about spark plug players. And Brandon Phillips is so much fun to watch on defense. I mean, every game. And that's not as a Reds fan. That's just talking about players that go out there and like, yeah, that's fun. That's why you go to the game, players like that. And so, yeah, I have a lot of fun watching that type of baseball.
Well, I have to tell you too, Mike, you know, even when since he was playing Detroit, you heard me say it a gazillion times, plate discipline. I've seen those guys, it's foul off pitch, and they work pitchers. You know, and that's the one thing about this series you might want to keep an eye on. How do they work the San Francisco pitchers? Do they just go up there and just free swing? Because those guys have really shown a great command around home plate. So that's going to be another little tidbit to look for.
Definitely.
Another series to check out. My series of the week is going to be Washington Nationals at the Atlanta Braves. I don't know why. It seems like every week I'm picking the NL East matchup, but this is a great race. All these teams are bunched together. I mean, Philly is getting Utley back. They're getting Ryan Howard back soon. They can make a run at it. But all these teams are fun to watch. And you've got 1 versus 2 in Washington and Atlanta. I'll definitely be checking that one out to see who comes out on top.
And you know what, RJ? I got something to ask you, too. We talked a couple weeks ago about sellers and buyers, right? Have you changed your mind on Philly at all yet? 8 games
on who?
On Philly.
No.
No, there's still buyers.
What's that?
There's still buyers in your mind.
No. What I was saying is that their fan base and their general manager, I believe that they'll be buyers. I don't believe they should be buyers. I haven't been a Philly fan all year. I think they have an old roster. I think they need to make some moves to get younger. They don't have much in the farm system. I don't see them winning a World Series with this lineup. Therefore, I say blow it up.
But you don't think they'll trade this year?
I don't think what?
You don't think they'll trade Hamels this year?
No. I'd almost bet on it. As certain as I was with Hank that the Dodgers won't win the West, I'm not certain that they won't trade Hamels.
All right. I'm telling you, man,
I was out there, and those fans are on another level. They're not going – they boycott the games if they got rid of Hamels. I mean, he's the only thing they've got going right now.
Yeah. Perfect reason to trade him, right?
What's that?
The perfect reason to trade him then, right?
I think I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm saying they're not.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep it moving. I watched a lot of basketball for the finals. I don't remember watching this much of the NBA finals this past month. So I want to do an ode to the NBA. There were talks about them revamping the way that they did the Olympics.
and they were thinking about doing a using pro players for the Olympics, but everybody had to be under or at 23. So I thought about it, and that might not work in baseball because guys don't come straight out of college to the pros. But I, you know, thought about how we could make this work for our show. I thought it'd be interesting banter, and I know I love watching these young guys play. So I thought what our team would look like if we picked the under 25 team. So what I'm talking about is guys that are 25 and under, not so much concerned about where they're from, but just from a position standpoint, who you're going to have as a starting pitcher, who you're going to have at first base. I want to throw it out there to you guys. Let's see where we're at with this thing. I've got my lineup. I think it's pretty damn good. Let's see where you are and see if we can get into some classic inside the park battles as we get to some of these more interesting positions. But catcher, I went Buster Posey. He's 25 right now, so this is last year he'd be eligible, but I didn't see much else out there. Mike, where are you going for catcher on your under 25 team?
I think it's a no-brainer with Rizzo. You've got some guys on the cusp in AAA or some guys that are coming up this year, but, I mean, that guy's won a World Series. Key cog in that. So, yeah, absolutely, Buster Posey.
Hank?
I think we're all in agreement there. Buster Posey, I think you saw what happened last year when he went down and what that did to that pitching staff and what that did to that offense with the Giants. So I'm with you on that one, Buster Posey.
Okay. I think we may have some discourse on this next one. This may be interesting. Hank, who you got at first base?
First base. You know what? I kind of went off the board a little bit, and I went with Hosmer at Kansas City. I think that's a nice young talent for there. I think he's their next superstar. So, you know, looking for players under the age of 23 or 25, that was the first thing that came up.
How about you, Mike?
I dug a little deeper, and I'm going to go with Rizzo from the Cubs. Here's a guy who's 23, just got called up, and was hitting, I want to say he was hitting 3-something, 22 home runs, 65 RBIs at AAA this year. He's the number one prospect for the Cubs. First game was yesterday, I believe. But, you know, if we're gonna go in all under 25, some of these guys may not have hit the bigs yet and done it yet. So I'm going to go with Rizzo.
Nice pick. I actually watched some of Rizzo's game. He looked pretty comfortable yesterday.
The guy's been doing it at AAA, so, you know, he should feel comfortable, especially when you call him up. He becomes probably your third best player on that team or fourth best player on that team just because of the lack of talent.
Yeah, he may be the second best.
Soriano's carrying his bags to the airport right now as we speak.
You know? All right, that's a good one. I went another direction. I kept it out west. I thought about Hosmer too, Hank. He was I was going between Hosmer and my guy. I picked Paul Goldschmidt. A lot of people don't see him, but this guy is a humongous talent. He's a humongous guy. First baseman out for the Arizona Diamondbacks. What it came down to for me is power. I think he's played in like 80 less games than Eric Hosmer and still has more home runs. I mean, he's hitting at a better average than Hosmer. Gets on base, I believe, at a better clip. So I went with Paul Goldschmidt, who a lot of people don't get to see, A, because he plays for Arizona, and B, because he's out west. But Paul Goldschmidt's my pick. All right, second base. Who you got, Mike?
kind of thin pickings there, but I'll go with Altuve out of Houston. Getting a shot to play this year and doing a really nice job for him. Not a lot of track record there, and he's not a guy that I would tell you 3 years from now is going to be putting up these numbers. I just don't have that feeling for him, but he'll be a solid second baseman, and you know he's under 25, so ding ding ding, he's the winner.
Yeah, it's no surprise with me if you guys listen to our All-Star show. I picked this guy to maybe be in the All-Star game. I went Jason Kipnis out of Cleveland. He's right at 25.
And it sounds like, Hank, you might have picked him as well. Is that accurate?
I did.
Yeah, I looked at Altuve. He's got a small frame. I mean, the guy's 5 foot nothing, I believe. And
you like a big bone, don't you?
What's that?
You like him big bone? You like the hips? Do you? In your second base?
I actually look at the shoulders. I'm more of a shoulder guy. But no, Kipnis has a little more pop in his bat, so that's why I went with Kipnis over Altuve.
I did the same thing. You know, I looked at his numbers and everything. And Kipnis, he's a strong defensive player, and he works real well with my boy over there, Struble Cabrera. And Cleveland, you know, for a while was doing very well defensively. So, again, that was going to be my pick. But you had it first, so.
It's all good, Hank. We can share them. All right. Unfortunately for Hank, Struble Cabrera is over 25, so that draws a little more. Now I'm interested in where you're going at shortstop, Hank. Who you got?
Oh wow! You know what? I'm going to have to defer because this was a tough one for me at shortstop. I was looking at the young man, Damel Weeks, that plays with Oakland, but I know he plays a little bit more second base than shortstop. But I like him as an infielder. I like his game, he's a very, very athletic player. But I'm going to have to defer to Mike with this one. But that was going to be my pick to Damel Weeks.
There you go. You know what? To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Starlin Castro here. Not only do you have a guy who's putting up fantastic numbers, 22 years old, I believe this is his third year in the league, guys, who's the best player on his team, and he's been forced to be a leader on that team, put up very, very solid numbers. I'm sure he's going to have, you know, the mental lapses here and there, but I compare him to an Elvis Andrews who doesn't necessarily have to play that role with Texas. He can be complimentary. He can grow into that, and for that reason, I think Starlin Castro is absolutely fantastic, and I think he's just going to be a huge star the longer he's in the league in Chicago.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that guy's only 22. He's my pick as well. I thought about Manny Machado, the Baltimore Orioles prospect, but when I looked at Castro and what he's done already at 22, I don't know if Manny can duplicate those stats when he becomes 22. I think he's only 19 now. And he's one of the top three or four prospects in the minors right now, but Starlin Castro is putting up some eye-popping numbers to only be 22, and this being his third season in the bigs. He's been doing it for a while, and that's why I chose Starlin over Manny. Third base. Do we need to defer on this one too, Hank? You got a third baseman for it.
I'll let y'all defer again. I'll come back at you in a minute.
All right, who you got, Mike?
RJ, you should know better than doing this show at the same time the Real Housewives of New Jersey is on. We cannot get
canceled. Oh, for goodness sakes. And away we go.
Yeah, how dare you. It's the Housewives of Atlanta, not New Jersey, that he watches.
I'm sorry, man. Hey, DVR, baby, DVR.
I got you.
Who you got, Mike?
All right, so I went the young guy, obviously, Middlebrooks. With Boston, putting up fantastic numbers, and actually, you know, he turned Kevin Youkilis into Wally Pipp there, and has had a fantastic flash onto the scene here. You know, who knows if he holds up for this, he's had just a great first couple weeks in the big leagues. The other guy I had up there was Moustakas, but you know, still for me, I want to see him do it. You know, he's still a lot of potential. And not production. So Middlebrooks definitely has been production.
I'm shocked. I'm surprised you didn't go with my guy. I went up to Toronto and Brett Lowry.
Okay.
He's 22. Lot of power in his bat. Defense is pretty good as well. And he seems to me if you I know a lot of people don't watch the Blue Jays on television, but he's like a spark plug.
he hits a jack and he's high fiving guys so hard that they don't give him high fives anymore. He's got a lot of energy. He's a fiery player, and he's fun to watch. So Brett Lowry's my guy.
Not a bad choice.
All right, this is let's see how we do on this one. We got the outfield coming up, and I'm going outfield specific. I don't know if you guys did that as well, but I'm calling out certain positions. We're not doing just three outfielders. Who you got in
Ooh.
Center field, Mike?
Ooh. How do you not pick McCutchen? He's a top 10 player in the league right now, in my opinion, under 25, over 25. So he's my center fielder.
I got McCutchen as well. And I think Hank is going with Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Not quite.
Wow.
Not quite.
Where are you at, Hank?
I'm trying. Well, you know, now that I'm back from the beer tent, I think I'm gonna go with Andrew McCutchen too. You know, but the thing is about it is the young man is bad. I mean, he's superstar status. You watch him play, he is. You pray that he stays in Pittsburgh because that team needs a player like that to build around. He's an awesome player. So yeah, I'm going with Andrew McCutchen.
All right. If it's safe, we'll go to Hank for left field.
I don't know. Is it safe for me to go? I'm going with Mike Trout. is that okay? Or am I still watching Snooki, whoever the hell that is?
I think you may have a consensus here. I got
Thank
Trout
you.
As well.
Mike Trout has been, I mean, look here, he made Bobby Abreu a non-factor. He made, I'm drawing a blank here, Torii Hunter, you know, both of those guys, you know, they made him a non-factor for a little while, and he's doing work. So, absolutely, Mike Trout.
One could argue he's the best player on that team right now.
You can. They started moving as soon as they got him out there on the field.
Yeah. How about you, Mike? Is it three for three?
Yeah, that's fine.
Check. I saved the last one because I think, or not the last one, but the last position player. I think there could be some debate here. I mean, you've got, when I was looking at this, three guys jumped out at me in right field. It seems like this position is going to be fun to watch for a long time, but I'm looking, you got Justin Upton, who's only 24. You got Mike Stanton, who's only 22. And then Bryce Harper, who's 19. There's a lot going on in right field. I'm curious to see who you guys got. Which way did you go, Mike?
You know, those guys, I'm going with Stanton. awesome rookie year last year. Fantastic numbers this year. To me, he's done it. You know, and he's done it consistently since he came up. Bryce Harper is having a good season, but Giancarlo Stanton is a stud. So Stanton's my guy.
Okay, let me ask you this. 3 years down the line, do you see yourself picking Stanton or Bryce Harper?
To me, Stanton is I'm going to stay with Stanton. I really am. Harper's a hustle guy. He's got, you know, a ton of talent. To me, I see Stanton, and I see from a hitting perspective, I see Cabrera, I see Pujols, I see those type of guys that can just sit there and bam the ball. So, I like that. So I'm gonna go with Mike Stanton.
Interesting. Which way are you going, Hank?
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, Stanton's a bad boy. He's a bad boy. But I'm going with Bryce Harper. I think Bryce Harper has already exceeded what anybody expected of him. I know we had this conversation earlier that if they brought him up, it was going to be too early. You know, we talked about that he wouldn't be ready. He didn't look very good in the spring. But he's doing work. And, he's a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. And I'm gonna go with him. I think when you look, like you said, when you look long term, you know, he's one of the studs for the for that Nationals team, you know, and it's going to be him, it's going to be Strasburg. So just given that, just given what he can do, I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
You know, coming in, I was thinking I was going Harper as well. I think Mike's convinced me. I'm picking a team for the right now, and right now I want Stanton over Harper. If we're going 3 years down the line, I probably would go Harper. But right now, I mean, Stanton, he's power personified. He's hitting home runs in that humongous ballpark. And I was surprised. I looked at his numbers. He's actually a plus defender, which is shocking because the guy's so big. He's built like a tight end. So to see how good he is on the defensive side of the field as well as offensively, right now I'm picking Mike Stanton. I believe that Bryce Harper is only going to get better. His defense will come around. He's got a cannon for arm already. But sometimes he looks a little lost out there in right field. So in 3 years, I probably will pick Harper, but right now I'm going Stanton.
Yeah, I like that, RJ. Now, you said he's built like a tight end, but more importantly, what do you think of his shoulders?
I don't know if I can say it. I don't know who's listening. My mom might be listening. we're going to keep it moving on that note. Starting pitcher. I think it's a formality with Hank, but we'll ask him anyways. Hank, do you want to slap some love on the Dodgers real quick?
Well, let me see. I think for my starting pitcher, I think I'm going to go with Snooki. I think that that would probably help out this team. Now I'm going with Clayton Kershaw, of course. You know, the young man, I've just been, you know, smacking love on him all year long, and I'm not going to deviate from that right now. I think he's probably still one of the best pitchers, not one of the best pitchers in the National League. Under 25 or the 25 age, and again, you know, legitimate Cy Young every year, Clayton Kershaw.
No surprise there. What's that, Mike?
No, it's a good pick though, man. It's a good pick. You know, Hank was right on the nose with that. He picked a Cy Young winner. The guy's doing it again.
So are you going Kershaw?
I appreciate
Kershaw as well?
That, Mike.
No, I'll, you know. I'm going to go with my dog. I'm going to go with Strasburg, but I don't think there's a wrong answer there. They're both fantastic. What I see in Strasburg and the difference between these guys is Strasburg has the capability to go from a very good pitcher to an absolute dominant Roger Clemens type pitcher. And that really just comes with, you know, that top end velocity that he has to be, you know, and not that Kershaw's not a strikeout pitcher because he is, but Strasburg's just a notch ahead in that. So, you know, as he continues to be a better pitcher and more of a pitcher than a thrower, he's already good now, I think he's just going to get better. So I see that type of talent, and I think Roger Clemens as opposed to Jack Morris or somebody like that. You know, great pitchers, but not generation-defining.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. It's amazing to me. I looked at the numbers for this one because I, you know, off the rip, you just want to say Clayton Kershaw because that's the name, you know. He's only 24, but I looked at Strasburg's numbers career-wise and measured them to Kershaw's career numbers. Strasburg beats him in every category already. I mean, if you look at, we talk about the importance of defense, so. A stat I like to look at for pitchers is strikeouts per nine innings. Because if a pitcher is striking guys out, the ball's not getting put in play. Therefore, the defense doesn't have a chance to make an error or screw up the play somehow. Strasburg's striking out 11.6 batters per nine innings. Kershaw's only at 9.3. Strasburg has the lower ERA already. If you look at ERA plus, Strasburg's in the lead. If you look at WHIP, Strasburg's in the lead. And not to mention that Kershaw pitches in more of a pitcher's park than the Nationals do. So, for me, once I looked at the numbers, it was a no-brainer. I was going Strasburg as well, which was very surprising, I should say that.
Good choice.
All right, so one other subject I want to touch on before we close this very homoerotic show out.
LeBron finally got his ring. We talked about the NBA closing out the season, and LeBron finally got his ring. And, you know, I know a lot of people hate LeBron, didn't want to see him get it. So I wanted to ask the fellas, who is that one guy in Major League Baseball that you just despise, who you do not want to see win a ring over anything else? Mike, who can you just not stand to get that championship ring that you would hate to see holding up that trophy?
I hear you. So this to me comes down to what type of fan you are. We talked about this. Do you root for the name on the back of the jersey, or do you root for the name on the front of the jersey? And I root for the name on the front of the jersey. So when you tell me who do I not want to see win the World Series, well, they already won it two out of the last 6 years. It's the Cardinals. I can't stand the Cardinals. I can't stand them. I don't like watching them. I don't like hearing about them. I don't like their manager. I don't like their players. They're whiny. They're little kids out there, and yet they win, and it drives me nuts. I can't stand the Cardinals. I don't want to see them win again.
Is there one guy on the squad who epitomizes what you hate about the Cardinals?
Chris Carpenter's a little sissy, wears a skirt. I swear, he complains about everything. Everything. They played the music too loud. They did the mound too much. They whistled from the dugout. He's always got something to say. Please retire and shut up. People are so... I can't stand the Cardinals. And he's one guy on them that I can't stand more than the others.
There it is. Who is it for you, Hank?
Let me define mine a little bit. Now, one of the reasons why you can't stand, in most cases, why you can't stand the guy, either it's his attitude or they're extremely talented and they keep winning, okay? So given Mike's, you know, what Mike said, the name in the front is clearly the New York Yankees, okay? That's the one team that I can't stand. And anytime they're in the playoffs, it's just I don't want to watch them. But even though that's supposed to be I guess baseball's America team. But as far as the name on the back of the jersey, the one player that I just cannot stand is Nelson Cruz. Now, Nelson Cruz torched the Detroit Tigers last year, but Nelson Cruz was an arrogant SOB, in my opinion, and I can't stand Nelson Cruz. Now, he's a Tiger killer, true enough, but this is where some of this hatred comes from. But every time I see the guy gets up the bat, you know, I was so glad. I was one of the few people, probably Mike, forgive me, but I was one of the few people that was happy as hell when he misplayed that ball in right field in the World Series last year and the Cardinals came back. But I can't stand, I did not want to see Nelson Cruz win a ring. So there it is.
I went with the same logic as Mike. I went with the Tigers in-division rival. Can't stand them, never root for them, Chicago White Sox. And the guy who I would say most people can't stand on the White Sox is the same guy that I just have no care in the world for, and that's A.J. Pierzynski.
Baby.
they say this guy is one of those guys where you hate him if you're against him. If he's on your team, you love him. I don't think I could ever love him. He's one of those guys who looks for every similar to how Bill Laimbeer looks for every advantage. He'll cheat if he has to. I just can't stand AJ Pierzynski. That's the guy I just don't want to see win.
That's a real good pick. That's a real good pick.
You know, it really is.
Of
that. 2 years ago, so 2010, Reds won the division, and as a late-season acquisition, they pick up Jim Edmonds. Jim thinking Edmonds, all right? He lasts with them for a couple months. They cut him, and as soon as they cut him, he starts talking about, this team's not that good, not as good as the Cardinals. Man, so what if Pierzynski gets picked up, and you've got to root for a guy like that? I mean, it'll just be your guts if he's on your team.
Can't do it.
Yeah, that's hard.
Uh-huh. Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Nope.
There it is. We're going to close it on that note. This was another week of Inside the Park. Check us out next week, same time, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central.
If you missed any of the other episodes, download them on iTunes. Just go ahead and search Real Sports Guys, and you'll see Inside the Park right there. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next week. Peace.